Once again, we are going to study about Moses' faith this afternoon. Initially, I was planning to make just one message out of the whole passage, but eventually, I have been studying verse by verse, so it seems that Hebrews chapter 11 seems to be an endless chapter, but the end is coming. We are making a very good progress so far. Having studied Hebrews chapter 11, verses 24 and 25, we have been able to understand what was in the mind of Moses when he lived by faith. Hebrews 11, verses 24 and 25 say, "By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season." He refused to be called the son of a Pharaoh's daughter. And he chose to suffer affliction with the people of God. You know, one way or another, if we want to live by faith, there is a time when we have to make up our minds. Whether we like it or not, there is a time for decisions. And we are to be willing to pay for the price in order to follow Christ Jesus. If we do not want to pay for the price and still want to be the followers or disciples of Jesus Christ, in fact, that is not the biblical way. And in fact, one of the greatest examples is right before us. That's Moses. He even refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And instead, he chose to suffer affliction with the people of God. Now in verse 26, we see even more dramatic picture of his affliction or suffering. Or we see what it means to refuse to be called by that honorable title in the land of Egypt, or to choose not to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. The writer of the book of Hebrews says that Moses esteemed the reproach of Christ greater than anything else in Egypt. Here must I talk about a few realities of Christian living or Christian life. When a person becomes a Christian, he may not be able to fully comprehend what it means to follow Jesus. He may not fully understand what it means to forsake all things and follow Him. I'm sure that Moses in the beginning knew that he was going to have tough days ahead when he decided to take his side with the people of God. When he refused to be called a son of the Pharaoh's daughter, probably he knew a little bit about the consequences of his decision when he chose to suffer affliction to be with the people of God. I'm sure that he did have a little bit of understanding about those consequences. Well, however, probably he did not understand the full depth of consequences waiting for him in the future. Likewise, many men and women have followed the Lord by knowing the principles such as being with the people of God and to love God more than anything else in this life. But they did not possibly know the full extent of hardships waiting for them. Only faith can enable them to follow Jesus, even though comprehension may not be there. At the same time, I also need to mention about the tender side of faith. Through faith, he was able to cast his eyes upon the children of Israel, and he considered himself as their brother. It was all done by faith. It was a tender side of faith. And by faith, when he was looking at the people who were actually slaves and servants of the Egyptians, of whom he was the prince. But when he saw them by faith, that he did have a tender heart and he wanted to be a part of them, even though he had to deny himself from being a son to a Pharaoh's daughter. He saw them as the people of God in verse 25. He was an Egyptian prince, but he could not despise people who were slaves. When he saw them in pain and toils to make bricks for the Egyptians and to be treated harshly and unjustly, instead of turning his eyes to somewhere else, he had compassion toward them. That was a tender side of his faith. Faith took him from the palace to the Midian desert. So let us think about verse 26. Verse 26 says, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater than greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Let us begin to think about faith to esteem. We are going to think about at least three lessons in this first point. What it means by esteem, first of all. Secondly, what is the object of Moses esteeming? Number three, there is God's will in our suffering. The first point we are going to study is that Moses esteemed something when he had to make a decision that could affect the rest of his life. Let me begin with the meaning of the word. The word for esteem is to be defined as to consider, to deem, to count, or to think. When we think about the word consider, there are basically two things we may find from its meaning according to a linguist, Schmidt. And he says, number one, it denotes a belief resting not on one's inner feeling or sentiment, but on the due consideration of external grounds and the weighing and comparing of facts. In other words, when we are considering, it means that there is a belief resting not on our inner feeling or sentiment, but in fact, there is a consideration of every possible evidences available. Then finally, through that consideration, conclusion is to be made. Secondly, consider. It describes a subjective judgment growing out of inclination or a view of facts in their relation to us. If we put them, these two understandings or two meanings of the word consider, we may say that the word consider is not referring to a kind of reckless thought or decision, but a very careful thought after careful deliberations based on facts. However, the Greek word used in verse 26, esteem, denotes even a more deliberate and careful judgment than those two meanings I have mentioned already. It means that when Moses had to make a decision, his decision, Moses' decision to forsake the riches of Egypt by identifying himself with the people of God to suffer, was neither an impulsive nor feeling-oriented decision that could have caused him to regret later on. Instead, he carefully thought through every possibility and every implication, and after much considerations, investigations, he made a final decision to take the path of suffering for God and his people. He was able to observe the living and toil, painful life of the children of Israel, but despite all those observations, he made a choice to be with them. It was all by faith. By reason alone, by careful human judgment alone, he could not possibly have made such a decision. But it was made by faith. This decision was made by faith. Obviously, we know that deep thinking alone could not lead him to make such a decision. His choice was possible because he made this choice by faith. In this case, his intellect and faith, or reason and faith, worked together to lead him to the choice he made. He was able to observe everything. He was able to consider everything, every possible implications and so on. Then, based on all those observations and investigations, by faith, finally, he was able to make that final decision to be with the people of God. It shows the quality of his faith, quality of, in fact, his life of faith. Let us find a few implications from this lesson. First of all, faith is not blind, especially blind to the things of God. So I want you to know that your faith has to be fed with truth of God, and based on all those evidence, biblical evidence, and you should be able to think through, and then there has to be a final decision made. Faith is not just a blind faith we are talking about. Secondly, it is possible that our faith is informed faith. Or we may say that faith is not just a subjective feeling. Faith also works with a mind that needs to be trained by reason and intellect. The state of mind that has faith is not a mindless state, as some people argue. The state of faith is not ecstatic, in which a person cannot think properly. In this regard, we may say that the true faith in God is nobler and higher than human intellect and intelligence. Number three, it tells us that faith is more than feeling. It is more than a sentiment. Faith also does not remove the validity of reason completely. It may use reason at times as an assistant, but the reason alone does not provide a final answer to the relationship to our God. We may use our reason in order to evaluate the situations and so on. However, the final moment when we have to make a decision in terms of our fellowship with God, in terms of our relationship with the Lord, faith must come in. Faith goes beyond everything. It is very understandable because reason may work based on empirical evidence, while faith is more than that. The second point we need to ponder on is about the object of Moses' esteem. What did he consider? What did he esteem? The writer of the Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, says that he esteemed the reproach of Christ. I want you to pay attention to the word reproach. Isn't it interesting that he was considering to take a part of the reproach of Christ? It is not glory, it is not luxury, it is not comfort, it is not prosperity, it is not success, it is not health, it is not riches, but the reproach of Christ. You know, this very, very element of the object of Moses' faith makes him all distinguished over us. It is because oftentimes the object of our interest while we are following Jesus is not approach, not the reproach of Christ, but the glory of Christ, success of Christ, luxury, comfort, health, riches of Christ, not reproach of Christ. So when we are poor, we cry unto God and we say, Lord, provide my needs for your glory. Finally, when God has provided everything that we need, then we depart from God because we are so comfortable. But look at Moses. He was in comfort in the palace of the Pharaohs. But by faith, he took the side of the reproach of Christ by forsaking all those comforts. To some professing believers, such a person like Moses, who esteemed the reproach of Christ better than all the riches of Egypt, is only a stranger. The reproach of Christ includes lots of things, including destitute, shame, loneliness, no defense, and physical and mental hardships. There was no one to whom he could go and talk about his problems. There was no one, no single soul who was able to understand what Moses was trying to do. There was nobody who was able to understand Moses in the Pharaoh's palace. There was nobody who was able to understand even among the children of Israel. He was misunderstood by both parties when he chose the path for the reproach of Christ Jesus. He was alone. From the pragmatic point of view, what he did was only a mistake. It means that there are things we must consider only by faith. To the pragmatic eyes, people who live by faith alone look like nuts, look like fools. That was who Moses was. He was only a fool to the eyes of the people. you gave up such a prestigious position, being a prince of Pharaoh's daughter. Secondly, at the same time, the phrase "the reproach of Christ" may refer to the nature or the contents of his faith. Or it is an indication that there is always only one object of faith for professing Christians. It tells us about his spiritual insight, even though he did not see Christ, but he believed in Christ. Maybe we may have to understand this particular expression, reproach of Christ. As Abraham saw the days of Christ, he rejoiced. Likewise, so Moses must have been able to rejoice in the Lord, Christ Jesus. So he chose the reproach of Christ over any other things, treasures, pleasure in Egypt. Thirdly, the reproach of Christ also shows us that he had a mystery of faith. When Paul speaks about the qualifications to become a deacon, he says in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 9, "Holding the mystery of faith in a pure conscience." I'm sure that it has to be a characteristic that all the children of God must be able to have. Some people's faith is overly exaggerated. Some people's faith seems to be misrepresented out of proportion. Someone told me that iceberg is only about 10% of the whole volume, the mass of the ice. The percentage number may not be correct. But the truth of the matter is that the size of the ice underneath the water is much bigger than the size of the ice above the water. Likewise, there has to be a solid foundation of faith, which may be called as a mystery of faith. Consider that Moses, more than 1,500 years before Christ was born, esteemed the reproach of Christ better than all the wealth and treasures in Egypt. It is the strength he had underneath his visible faith. No one was able to see it. No one was able to comprehend it. While he was living in the palace, Egyptian Pharaoh's palace, there was deep down there underneath, there was a mystery of faith in his soul. Moses considered the suffering for Christ better than enjoying this temporal life. The same thought is also found from the apostles of Jesus. Acts chapter 5 verse 41 says, "And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name." They were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name, and they rejoiced. Who amongst us will do the same thing? Who will consider the reproach of Christ better than anything else or all the wealth in this world? Fourthly, there is something that most people do not find from the reproach of Christ. It is a hidden treasure of faith behind the reproach of Christ. The same verse we have been studying, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 26, tells us that Moses believed in the recompense of the reward. If we suffer with the Lord and for the Lord, he will honor us. Likewise, faith sees beyond the present moment of suffering alone if we live by faith. The third point we are going to study is that there is a will in our suffering. Sometimes suffering becomes a kind of bad name amongst the Christians. So if someone is suffering, then we say probably God has not blessed that person. If someone is in deep afflictions and so on, something must be wrong with that person. We Christians have been soaked with the ideas of a prosperity kind of concept of Christian faith. Where in the scriptures God has guaranteed our riches if we believe in him? Where is God's permanent kind of guarantee that if we believe in Jesus Christ, we will never suffer with illnesses? Or is there any promise that if we believe in God, then we are going to experience any sort of hardship or afflictions in our lives? Where is such a promise? In fact, one way or another, the scripture tells us that if we want to follow Jesus, we should be willing to take up the cross. And in fact, if you count all those disciples of Jesus, his own apostles, except one, John, the rest of the people were martyred. They were killed. And if we look at all their ends, we may not be able to say, well, they surely enjoyed their comfortable life because they followed Jesus. I think we have to change our concept of suffering. In other words, what I am trying to say is that not all sufferings are the signs of God's divine displeasure. And at the same time, any suffering in God's will is more valuable than living for any earthly things and pleasures, because through sufferings and afflictions, there are things that we may be able to learn that we may not be able to learn from other things. David suffered. And in fact, he said that his suffering was actually good for him. That's what he said. That was his confession of faith. At least Moses said so and thought so. There are at least two lessons we may think about from here. One, there is a danger to choose to take the reproach of Christ. Moses made a decision. But from the eyes of the world, it was a very, very dangerous, seemingly reckless decision. He did not choose for a seemingly safer path. He did not choose a path of security. He did not choose a path that was provided with protection and seemingly future, wonderful, bright prospectus. The choice that he made was a very, very dangerous choice. What he decided was to take risks because of his faith. There was nothing guaranteed as a result of his willing suffering for Christ. From the perspectives of the world. From the eyes of the world, the decision that Moses made was the most ridiculous and absurd decision in terms of values. That's right. In terms of values, from the worldly point of view, Moses made a wrong decision, and because of that wrong decision, he lost everything. What he gave up is far more than anything we can think of. He was basically denouncing his 40 years of life. His 40 years of life seemed to be completely wiped out because of this decision. Two, Moses took a path of suffering. But what we have to understand is this. It was not a suffering thrust into his life. You know, oftentimes we may suffer. We didn't invite those suffering into our lives, but somehow we are put into those conditions and we are saying, Lord, thank you even for this suffering, and thank you for this affliction. That is an honorable attitude, honorable response to the Lord in times of suffering. That is wonderful. But here is a higher level of spiritual plane here. Moses was not thrust into such a condition, but he chose the path of suffering. That is an amazing faith feat. He was able to make. It was not a suffering thrust into his life, but it was a suffering that he chose to take. It was a voluntary choice. Well, what we need to know is that there is a place of Christian sufferings, whether it's voluntary or involuntary. But whatever we are in, we are to live by faith. Secondly, let us talk about faith to consider. Hebrews 11:26, once again. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Let us think about a few considerations about our faith here. First, faith and faith views and the views of the people are different. Or the children of God and the children of the world have two different perspectives, I may say. We all know that Moses said more secure and prosperous, in fact, promising life in Egypt. The prospectus of his future life in Egypt was very bright, and it was actually very attractive, an attractive life. Besides, his age was 40 already, which was the prime time of his life to be fully blossomed in the future. And if he had any potentials, that is the time when he began to be able to see the climax of all those potentials. It was not a time for a dramatic change by denouncing or denying himself to become totally a different person. His age was 40. It was not a time for changes, but for stabilities. However, he made an extraordinary decision. He was not a fool, but a very intelligent person. He made an intelligent decision, but all by faith. If we correctly judge Moses' faith, we need to carefully see a comparative word greater in verse 26. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures. Moses considered the reproach of Christ as greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Just to think about what it means by the treasures in Egypt. It includes privileges to be called a Pharaoh's grandson, to live in the luxury of the king's palace, and he was one of those heirs to the king's wealth, and there was all kinds of provision of security and safety, and there was nothing to worry about in his life. No worries. Worry-free, carefree sort of life in the palace. Guaranteed. While Moses says, it is all by faith, the whole world will say, you are only a fool. You know, if you really make up your mind, if you want to follow Jesus Christ, once in a while when you have to make those crucial decisions for Christ Jesus by choosing Him in your life, you will say, I did it by faith. And I know that the whole world will say to you, you are a fool. Sometimes the man of faith may not be comprehended and understood by the man of the world. The events and experiences Moses had were reproaches from the eyes of the world. But from Moses' point of view, by faith, they were something that he gloried about. What a difference it surely is. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 23 and 24 says, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Secondly, faith sees beyond the seen. By faith, Moses was able to see and know something that the Pharaoh did not know or could not possibly understand or know about. Moses saw things that the wise or the wisest of Egypt could not see, could not comprehend. He saw something even the entire children of Israel could not see, could not comprehend, could not understand. Do you know what there was? It was the deliverance of the children of Israel from Egypt. Moses saw and Moses believed that what he was doing was worthwhile because he would receive a reward for it. It was not because he saw any potential from the children of Israel. There was no single potential amongst the children of Israel. He could not find any positive side from the children of Israel. Children of Israel did not have any military power, military strength. Even, I think they did not have even determination to get out of the country. Deliverance, all. It was beyond the horizon. No one was able to see it. But he believed that the children of Israel were going to be delivered. It was not because he was able to see a very subtle but swift kind of shift of policies in the Pharaoh's court. No, that was not the reason. Pharaoh was determined not to send the children of Israel from Egypt. Only thing Moses was able to see with his bare eyes was the brick-making slaves, hopeless people. They were beaten. They were despised slaves only. It was not only Moses' observation. In fact, the whole community of the children of Israel felt and thought that there was no hope for any better life. If there was any difference between Moses and the community of Israel, it was faith. Moses believed in God's deliverance of his people from Egypt, and he thought that the children of Israel understood it and comprehended it. So when he killed an Egyptian man who was very harsh to one of his brethren, one of the Jewish person, he thought that the whole community of the children of Israel might understand him. But in fact, they didn't understand it. No one was able to comprehend the faith that Moses had. But Moses believed that the children of Israel were going to be delivered. And he was able to see it only by faith. Faith oftentimes enables us to be able to see beyond the seen. Third, faith rests on the promises of God. It is a really exciting part, though very hard to follow it. I believe that this is an essential part of our faith. It is because we do not believe in something that we see and touch, but that we cannot see. If we are able to see certain things, you know, why there is any reason to exercise our faith to believe in it? We see it, we touch it. Faith is not required. Faith is required because there are things that we cannot see, we cannot touch, we cannot presently experience. That's why we need faith. That's why the believers live and walk not by sight, but by faith. Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verse 24, "For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for?" There is nothing to hope for if we see. The promises of God are waiting for their fulfillment. They are not fulfilled yet, but they will be fulfilled. Thus, all the believers of the promises of God have faith in the things that they have not seen yet, they have not touched yet. That is why many people have failed to live on the promises of God, because they have not seen it, because they have not touched it, because they have not experienced it. But in fact, because of very that reason, we must have faith in the promises of God. Through Moses, when Moses did have faith, the promises of God were his kind of resting grounds. And by faith, Moses was able to live on the promises of God. The deliverance of the children of Israel from the bondage of the Egyptians was a promise of God, even though the children of Israel forgot about it. In fact, this promise goes all the way back to Abraham in the book of Genesis. Having received a promise from the Lord for a son in Genesis chapter 15, Abraham asked the Lord in Genesis chapter 15 verse 8, and he said, "Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it?" Within this context, the Lord said to Abraham in verses 13 and 14 in Genesis 15, and he said unto Abraham, "Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years, and also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance." So in fact, even more than 400 years before the time of Exodus, God already spoke to Abraham, and God already promised him that the children of Israel would be delivered from the bondage of the Egyptians. Besides, there's so much details we can find within this promise. The children of Israel will be strangers in the land that are not belong to them. Besides that, they are going to serve the people in the land. But eventually, after 400 years of afflictions, that they will be delivered and so on. And when they will be delivered, they will become a nation. And besides that, those people who oppressed my people, or my people had to serve, I will judge them. And when children of Israel will come out of that particular country, they are going to come out with a great deal of, great amount of substance, wealth, and riches. Well, every one of them was fulfilled, by the way. And so it was a promise given to Abraham few hundred years before the time of Exodus. The affliction in Egypt was already mentioned, and their deliverance is also promised. It was the same promise that Jacob and Joseph believed, and that's why they asked, they commanded their descendants to bury them in the land of promise, the promised land, because they knew that even though they had to die in the land of Egypt, eventually his children would be delivered from the land of Egypt and they would come back. There was a promise. Amazingly, even though whole children of Israel, the community of the people of God, forgot it, but Moses knew it and believed it. And he even wanted to take an initiative, take an action to achieve it. He believed something that no one was able to believe. It was because his faith was resting on the promises of God. I hope that you will cherish the promises of God in your lives. And the fourth, faith endures. This is a true character of faith. Despite challenges and temptations, faith perseveres. Though what we see seems to be very different from what we hope for, faith enables us to believe and wait patiently. That is what Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verse 25. But if we hope for that we see not, then do we, with patience, wait for it. Without faith, we cannot do it. What Moses had to experience after he left the palace was against virtually everything that he had and he had experienced before. We know that in Pharaoh's days, the shepherds were despised by the Egyptians. That's why Joseph's brethren went to the land of Goshen. However, later on, Moses, once upon a time, a prince of Egypt, he became a shepherd in the Midian desert for not just a couple of weeks, for 40 years, which was an unthinkable occupation as an Egyptian prince. He did not murmur, but esteemed that such reproaches were better than the glory in the palace. Faith perseveres and endures us. And fifth, faith changes values, goals, and purposes of life. What Moses had to face was a harsh reality of life. However, instead of complaining about it, he prized it. In fact, he felt it worth more than all the treasures in the palace. So faith considers all of those things. You know, I think we are a small congregation. And sometimes some people are talking about their church as a mega church, and we have so many pastors, we have so many people in our congregations, and we have great property, and there are a lot of activities, and sometimes we are intimidated, you know. We're so small, and no one recognizes us. It seems that our existence is virtually unknown to anybody. It's okay. Faith endures, all right? And we have right perspectives and right values, and by faith we keep on going, and the Lord will take care of our needs, and we'll be proud of the time. I think we'll be proud of the time we had to endure eventually, and we'll be glad to be in this place for so many years. And I hope that that is the attitude you have, at least. I'm very proud of being here. I'm very glad to be here. Aren't you glad to be here? Praise the Lord. Lastly, faith to expect. Faith to expect. Hebrews 11, verse 26. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. I don't know personally what had happened to Moses in the Midian desert, or sometimes, you know, how he felt in the middle of the night when he was looking up, dark sky, sheep and his cattle were around him, and the stars in the darkest sky, and probably he was thinking about the days in the palace, so maybe sometimes once in a while comforts. Probably he had some people in his heart that he, you know, whom he really dearly missed. And I'm sure that he was wondering sometimes what he was doing. Sometimes because of all these difficulties and challenges in life, I do not want to idealize his situation in the desert. I'm sure that he had some personal agonies and so on. Sometimes I guess he was tearful. And he left everything from Egypt and he had to live in a totally strange and new place with new people. Well, sometimes I think he was in agony and he was in a very sad mood. And probably sometimes he shed his tears as well. But regardless of all those things, there is one thing that motivated him to be in the Lord by faith. Well, he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He knew that even though no one was able to understand him, even though no one was able to comprehend what he was trying to do, even though no one really understood his real intention behind what he was trying to do by faith, he knew that God knew what he was trying to do. That's why he was able to have a faith for future reward. He knew that God knew what he was doing. Moses had respect for the recompense of the reward, and it was the motivation to help him keep going. God knows what we are doing. Hebrews 11, verse 25 says that Moses chose to suffer affliction. And now in verse 26, the writer of the book of Hebrews says that Moses esteemed a certain kind of reproach. And there are a few things we need to consider. One, we must know that all these verses are talking about Moses' independent decisions by faith. It was not someone else's decision and imposed upon him, but everything was decided by him. His mind was properly working and evaluating the whole situations, and he made up his mind. It was his decision by his faith. It means that he was responsible for his decisions. The last part of verse 26 says, Why? Because he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Based on that logic, he chose the path of suffering for Christ Jesus by faith. Two, we must be able to see that behind his decision, there was very strong faith, his faith as the contributing factor. What he did was to leave or forsake the things of the world and to look upon the things in the above. He did not seek after the things he could find on earth or from the king's palace, but the things in heaven. His faith must be constantly groomed by self-discipline by faith. He was in the king's palace, and so he was able to live in luxuries. However, his mind, his heart was not taken away by those things. How easily our hearts are taken away by the things of the world. When things are so comfortable, everything goes well, then we tend to stay away from the things of God. We do not live by faith anymore. But even though he lived in that most luxurious place, most comfortable palace on this earth, on this planet, his mind was not taken away from God by those things. That means even though he was in the palace, there was no pastor, by the way. There was no constant preacher who was able to teach him constantly, you know. But he was able to discipline his mind and life by faith. He did not set his affection on the things of the treasures of Egypt. Three, we also need to see that his faith was very definite and unwavering. Verse 26 shows it by two ways. First of all, the word respect. The word respect indicates that his eyes were fixed on the things in the above. The Greek word for respect is actually a compound word which conveys an emphatic meaning, I say. It is consisted of a proposition which means from or away, and the verb to look or see.
he was able to see far away.
Thus, it means to look at very attentively. It becomes, the word meaning becomes to look at attentively. Or descriptively, it may mean to turn the eyes away from other things and fix them on certain things. It also means to look with steadfast mind, a mental gaze. To look with a steadfast mental gaze. The reason behind Moses' decision to take the reproach of Christ upon himself was because he had one heart for God and there was no divided heart. And his eyes were fixed upon the things in the above. His heart was not wavering. His heart was not divided between here and there. But his heart was consistently seeking for the things in the above. He was not a double-minded person. It is something that we need to learn from Moses. James says in James chapter 1 verse 8, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. A double-minded person wavers like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. If we want to live for God, if we want to live by faith, just live by faith. The phrase, the recompense of the reward, indicates it too. Definite and unwavering faith. He believed in the recompense of the reward. You may be surprised to know that this whole phrase comes from one Greek word, in fact, which is again a compound word consisting of wage or reward, and to give away or to fulfill or to yield or to give back. Or to return, or to render. So those two words are combined. When we put these two words together, it means payment of wages due, recompense, or reward. Moses' faith is found in the very definition of that word. Let me think about a few points here. Number one, he believed in the just and righteous God. He believed in the just and righteous God. Otherwise, he could not believe that there would be any reward. If there is no just and righteous God, we cannot expect that there will be any reward. If he had not believed in the just and righteous God, he did not have anyone who could reward for his faith. It means that he not only believed in the existence of God, but also his divine attributes such as justice, righteousness, and faithfulness. Number two, he believed in the divine justice. He believed in the divine justice. Otherwise, he could not believe in the reward. Though he suffered, he endured afflictions because he believed that the divine justice would be served in the future. It is also a faith in God's faithfulness. As 1 Corinthians 15 verse 58 says, nothing will be in vain. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, his reward also means God's divine justice upon his enemies. Number three, he believed in the life beyond life. In other words, he believed in eternal life. It may mean two things. He lived a life on earth, but lived a life of a heavenly citizen. It also means that he believed in the eternal bliss in heaven. If what Moses expected was just earthly gains and profits alone, he must have been deeply disappointed. He even was not allowed to enter into the promised land at the end of his life. At the same time, consider what he had to give up by denying himself to be called a son of the Egyptian Pharaoh's daughter. If his hope was only on the things of this world, his faith failed. And he must have regretted at the end of his day, at the end of his life. But it was not the case. In fact, there is a clear indication that he suffered for eternal bliss, not for the temporal gains. What he chose was to suffer with the people of God and to esteem the reproach of Christ Jesus. we must pay attention to the fact that his suffering, the suffering he had to bear, was the reproach of Christ, which could not but be spiritual because he did not see the days of Christ yet, but believed in him. Number four, Moses' faith was the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Though he did not see Christ, he believed in him and lived for him. He shows the real essence of true faith in God to all of us. The recompense or reward he was waiting for was only a payment promised, not paid yet. However, it was worth waiting for, and it was the work of faith on his part. Well, I need to make a conclusion from the message. When we have been studying about Moses' faith from Hebrews 11, 24 to 26 so far, if we take the key words from those three verses that may distinguish his faith, they are Moses refused, Moses chose, Moses esteemed. Refused, chose, and esteemed. Every one of them shows his resolutions, actions, decisions made by his faith. I do not know how he could have such strong and correct faith. If we reckon that faith comes from hearing, which comes by the word of God, we may say that he must have heard the word of God from someone and somehow. And I'm sure that he did have an opportunity to be able to hear about the promises of God given to the children of Israel from Abraham to Jacob and Joseph, etc. He believed and obeyed God, and whatever the cost he had to pay, he was willing to pay. It tells us about the importance of evangelism, discipleship, and studies of the scriptures. When God prepares a man to be used for his work, he allows him to go through every natural stage in his spiritual growth, including common and uncommon circumstances. One remarkable dimension of Moses' faith is that it includes faith in God's deliverance from their bondage, faith in God's leading and guiding promises, and also faith in the eternal weight of glory. From the light of this eternal glory, the earthly and temporal afflictions and difficulties seem to be very small and very light. Probably it was also Paul's experience in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Moses then walked by faith and not by sight. He had his eyes on the invisible, not on the tangible. He was occupied with the future rather than the present, and consequently, it was an easy matter to exchange the palace for the wilderness, the pleasure of sin for the reproach of Christ. Who amongst us is willing to exchange those things for the reproach of Christ? Well, let us live by faith. Let us look to the Lord in prayer.